There's hidden messages in some pop culture hits that really help to illustrate diversity issues in our culture. If you're a fan of the animated TV show South Park, then you're probably familiar with the character of Timmy.
Timmy!
Timmy's disabled and uses a wheelchair, though this doesn't slow him down from being a part of the animated anarchy. It's characters like Timmy, along with Joe from Family Guy, that help speaker Matt Glowacki show audiences that they can learn about diversity through popular culture.
I think they're really great teaching tools because through the use of parody and satire, they can validate but yet check people's feelings on a variety of subject matters. And they're so widely accepted by students that are attending college right now. It's really great branding that they already relate to. And for the people that don't like the shows, they come to my program because they want to hear me talk bad about Family Guy and South Park. And for the people that really enjoy the shows, they show up too because they want to hear me talk good about South Park and Family Guy. And so basically what I try and teach people to do is pay attention to how listening and feeling and watching television, because unfortunately a lot of times when people watch TV, they watch and they're just basically having a feeling reaction to it. They're kind of going so like if you're sitting on your sofa and somebody would walk into the room while you're watching television by yourself, usually when people say, hey, what do you think about what you're watching, all we say is it's great or it sucks.
Mm-hmm.
And what that really shows me is that we're not really thinking about what we're watching. We're having that emotional reaction. We're going, But when I watch Family Guy and South Park, even though I might be the only person in the room, because of the way they present their ideas, again, using the parody and satire, it elicits such a reaction out of me. I find myself talking to the television even though I'm the only person in the room. And so whether they're confirming biases, they're demonstrating stereotypes, or they're challenging all those things, I just get super excited and I really enjoy the shows. And I started doing this program because I would be watching Family Guy with my friends and I would be laughing at all of the inside jokes about Joe, the person who uses a wheelchair.
This is my wheelchair! There are many like it, but this one is mine. Without me, my wheelchair is useless. Without my wheelchair, I am useless. Shut up!
Okay.
All my friends around, they were like, why is that funny? And I'd be like, oh my goodness, this could be a new idea for a program where I could go around and teach people, you know, my ideas that I want them to know, but use, you know, again, branding and TV shows that they're already interested in to try and, you know, generate a little bit more interest in the larger ideas that they are presenting through how they, you know, design their TV program. So I think they're great teaching tools, and yes, they're offensive, but they're designed to be. And as long as you go in with that idea and you check your feelings while you're watching, I think they really can be really awesome learning tools.
Matt, do you think the offensiveness can really help break down walls with people?
It depends if you're watching by yourself, and it probably depends on how that person is coming to it.
Mm-hmm.
If they're a person who's looking to be offended, there's plenty of information in there. But if you're a person who's watching something and maybe you're a little bit malleable or you're looking for the next best reason to believe what you believe, they present arguments in some pretty interesting ways. And so I think people want to get offended. There's an opportunity for them too, but I'd really like people to watch it with a larger perspective and really acknowledge what the designers of the show are trying to do, which is teach people through you know, a form of medium that they already appreciate. If you go back and watch it with a critical eye for diversity and you know, social justice, the last two seasons of South Park have been some of the best material that I've ever seen them put out.
I just saw a copy of the school newspaper in which a student used the word retarded to refer to our cafeteria lunch policy. The word retarded does not belong in our school! Who is in charge of the school paper? Because I'm about to break their f***ing legs!
He's in charge of the school paper. You gonna break his legs, PC Principal?
The whole PC Principal thing last season was amazing, or the season before this last season. And so, yeah, they're really great. And I think both of the programs are doing really good work.
What do you think of the character of Timmy on South Park?
You know, it's funny. Back when South Park first started, there just wasn't any kind of a presence of people with disabilities. And so when Timmy, you know, came on the scene and they portrayed him the way that they portrayed him, I was like, well, okay, that's interesting. But what happened was people started coming up and talking to me, people that I didn't know, and starting conversations with me because they wanted to know how I felt about Timmy. And so anything that's an icebreaker or a conversation starter, I'm automatically in favor of because I want people to engage with other people. And so even if they're coming to me and asking me if it's confirming, you know, stereotypes or biases, or if it's a good way to portray a character on television, as long as you're asking the question, I think it's doing good work. And them asking the question to me, that helps me in my business, and it gives me another outlet to be able to talk to people about stuff I want them to know about. So I think it's great.
Now, who can tell me what famous person wrote the Declaration of Independence? Let's see.
Oh, I know. How about the new student, Timmy?
Timmy!
No, it wasn't you, Timmy. Try again. Timmy, did you not do your homework?
Timmy!
Mr. Garrison, haven't you figured it out? Timmy's retarded.
Don't call people names, Stanley.
But he is.
Now, Timmy, you need to work on your study skills.
Duh.
Are you mocking me? Because if you are, I have no problem sending your butt to the principal's office.
Leave it alone, Timmy!
That does it!
I don't always think that the character is portrayed in the best light. However, again, I know why they're doing it. They're doing it to try and, you know, challenge people's belief systems. And then the episodes that are dedicated to him and Jimmy are pretty good. Like, I think there was one called, like, Cripple Fight that was in one of the first few seasons of South Park. And that was a really, really excellent episode. I always want people to go back and check that out because it goes pretty deep into disability, and especially when it comes to people that were born with disabilities versus people who acquired them, which, well, there's some hierarchy within people with disabilities and the minority group about the credibility people have versus when they, I don't want to say earned their disability by, you know, receiving it after they were able-bodied for a period of their life versus people who were born with it. And so it was interesting that the way they touched on that in that episode, and I think they did a great job with it.
Well, the TV shows Family Guy and South Park, of course, are very funny, but what about you in your presentations? How important is it that you be humorous, Matt?
It's really important, especially in the beginning. You know, people construct movies and books and things with a character arc. I do that in my program. And so what I want to do is, in the beginning of my event, when I first come out on stage, the first thing that I do is I lift myself up and I shake my legs with everybody in the audience, and I go, can everybody see that I don't have legs? And they all kind of, like, give me that, like, yeah. And some people laugh, and some people don't, because they don't know if it's okay for them to laugh. And So in that moment, I actually say, hey, it's okay for you all to laugh at disabled people for about the next hour, and specifically me. And so if I say something or do something funny, please feel free to laugh at it. And it kind of breaks down the tension in the room a little bit. And then I explain that I was born without any legs. And as soon as I tell them that there's no real medical reason for me to not have legs, I do explain the second question, or the answer to the second question everybody has, which is, well, the way I answer it is simply by saying, yes, I was born without any legs, but everything else is there and works just fine.
Uh-huh.
And that gets a heck of a chuckle out of the audience, and then they really warm up to me, because now they know I'm not going to be like any other speaker they've ever seen. I really did answer the question that they all want to know, and so I'm speaking to them. I'm giving the information that they might not know they need, but they want, and I'm doing it in a receptive way that makes them feel a little bit more comfortable. And so the beginning of the speech is far funnier. I don't want to call it a stand-up routine because I use a wheelchair, but it's filled with lots, thank you. Be here all week to bring your waitresses, knee slapper. But what I try and do is I try and use humor to break through, and just like most people do when they're presenting. But then I do like to pull it a little bit away from me and make it more about the audience when we talk about lookism, which is discrimination towards people based on the way they look. Of course, there's some disability aspects, but really when I can talk to everybody in the audience and let them know that the standard of beauty they're trying to conform to based on the images they're seeing in the media is just so unrealistic, and then be able to reinforce that idea with a clip from Family Guy, I think really people understand it, and that's a good idea. They walk away where they understand the concept of lookism. And then after we do ableism in the beginning, which is discrimination towards people with disabilities, of course.
Matt, I know that you're an Eagle Scout, and you mm-hmm. also have played wheelchair basketball. And
yeah.
We actually have a big game that's coming up on Saturday, April 8th at a local junior high school, Kingsley Junior High School. And it's a fundraiser for our Center for Independent Living. And we have the University of Illinois wheelchair basketball team.
Wow, the Illini, that's a great team. One of my best friends coached that team for many years.
Really? Well, I just wanted to know, do you have any advice for someone who for the very first time is participating in a wheelchair basketball game? Do you have any advice for them?
Well, have a good time with it. And wheelchair sports are very interesting because a lot of times a wheelchair basketball is the first sport that a person with a disability can play in, I don't want to say more of a normal way, but usually, and I'm going to use myself as the example here, but when I was in school, they had adaptive FIED and, you know, they did their best to try and change the rules a little bit to make it inclusive for me to play. But usually they don't have 9 other people who use wheelchairs at that school.
Yeah.
So even if you're integrating like a wheelchair basketball player and you take an able-bodied student, you put them in another wheelchair, you can simulate the experience and you can work on some basic skills. But when you get 5-on-5 with 5 other people that have similar disabilities or similar abilities as you, it is for me at least, it was the first time I had a physical way to measure my strength against somebody who was in a situation that was close to mine. And so it's going to be intense and it's going to be fun, but I don't want people to go in thinking that, oh, look at how special these athletes are because they're all in wheelchairs. No. These are athletes, and these are people that are really specializing and really learning a skill set that's different than an able-bodied person who also plays basketball. I always love to take able-bodied people and put them in chairs, but boy, oh boy, if they don't know how to push and they don't know how to dribble, about 60 to 70% of what they have to do is a new skill that they, you know, are going to have to learn. It's the first time I ever really got in a fight with somebody was on a wheelchair basketball court. I was not doing the appropriate thing because I call it disability privilege. Disability privilege is given by able-bodied people to people with disabilities because of an assumption that their quality of life is maybe a little bit harder, or their life isn't maybe as good or as nice as an able-bodied person's. And so, but what happens is we become accustomed to the disability privilege. We expect people to be nice to us. But if a person with a disability is playing a basketball game against another person with a disability, boy, oh boy, there is no disability privilege. It is a level playing field, and you're going to get pushed around, and you're going to feel the prowess of another person who might have a similar situation to yours, might not, but they're going to show you what it feels like to be physical, and it's a great feeling. It's a heck of a perspective, and I'm really glad that disabled sports can give that to people because it's usually not a level playing field, and usually people with disabilities are given the benefit of the doubt. And on the basketball court, they're not, because it's such a level playing field for everybody. It's great.
That's speaker Matt Glowacki, who is the number one most booked diversity speaker in America. I'm Laura Kennedy.